Dude.
Yeah.
Dude!
What?
I just had a terrible thought.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Orion. I hope you missed me. It's been one hell of a week and one hell of a weekend. I was in Chicago last week, and poor Kyle had to do a solo episode.
Yeah, no big deal.
But yeah, I was in Chicago, basically because my cousin had a wedding, and I was out for that. I had some of the best times of my life, and definitely some of the worst times of my life. So that's why I'd call it rough. To start out, when we headed out, I didn't have a ride, so I hitched a ride with my brother, because he said, hey, dude, I can take you. No problem. And so we're riding down. We get there, and he doesn't have any directions. He's not prepared, has nothing. He just has directions to the wedding, but it doesn't say, like, it's this piece of paper that they gave him with the invite. Like, it's got two major highways, and then way out in the middle of blank paper, it's got two symbols, like two rings for the wedding and, you know, champagne for the reception.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, that's going to help. It's like, where the fuck is that? There's so much. It's Chicago, man.
Yeah, it would
There's
probably help so people who are like from there, but it's not going to help anybody.
Yeah, that's all I had. We didn't even have the name of the hotel, the where the wedding was at. It was bullshit. And so we headed out and we're halfway there, and he's like, oh, I got to pick up my tux. And I'm like, where at? Jesus. Like, why didn't you pick it up before we left? He's like, oh, I got to pick it up in Chicago at this place, you know, my cousin picked.
Yeah,
obviously.
He set it all up. Yeah.
Yeah, he set it up. I'm like, okay, where's that? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, you fucking kidding me?
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. What he had done, before we left, he looked up the directions real quick and took a photo on his phone of the directions. So he said, he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm not sure where it's at, but I looked up the directions. They're on my phone. So I'm like, all right, I grab his phone. And I'm looking through it. I'm like, where's the directions? He's like, oh, I took a photo of the directions. they're in the pictures. And I'm like, you took a photo of the directions?
What did he do? Did he like look it up on like Google Maps or something and then take a photo of the computer screen?
Yeah,
or
he had the address. He didn't bring it.
Of course not.
Looked it up.
Who needs that?
And took a photo and figured that'd work. He's like, I hope you can read it. It's probably real blurry. Fuck yeah, it was. 20 fucking minutes I had to try to interpret these directions, like an exit 18 look like exit 16 and highway 85 look like highway 65, you know, and that kind of helped because there's some major highways in Chicago. But as far as the exit, I had no idea. And we kept getting lost, and he had to do rehearsal at some point, and we couldn't find this fucking place. Like, we take a right and we find the road, but this road just ends. It dead ends into this other street. So we turn all the way back around, and we find this street that we recognize, but we don't know which way to go, right or left, because I can't fucking read the directions. It was so frustrating.
Did he have the name of the place at the reception rehearsal was at?
He didn't even remember. Rehearsal. He had it, but he didn't bring it, so he didn't know. He's like, just look for a tuxedo rental truck.
I'm sure there aren't more than one of those in Chicago.
Damn, yeah. And, I mean, given we were in, like, the suburbs, so it wasn't, like, downtown, but still, it really pissed me off. Here I am. I'm just along for the ride. It was not my responsibility to be prepared, you know? He said he'd take me, so I left it in his hands. But had I known. So anyway, we find the tuck shop because he calls my cousin, the groom, and my cousin's pissed. He's like, where are you? You know, he's like, we can't find the place. So my cousin gives him directions, which we probably should have done earlier, but he gave him shitty directions. He just said, you know, it's by this place. And we didn't know where that place was. Imagine that. He's like, oh, it's by this restaurant called this. So my brother hangs up and he's like, oh, it's by this restaurant. And we were riding with, it was me and my brother going to this wedding. We were riding with my brother's friend who lives in his town, but she's from Chicago. And she was trying to help us out. She's like, oh, I know that restaurant, you know, let's just keep driving. If I see it, well, we're there. And we couldn't find it. Like, so it's getting later and later. He ends up missing the rehearsal. So he's all depressed, you know, because they're going to hate him. Like the whole, my cousin, my relatives, like, you weren't at the rehearsal.
Well, if he had gotten the fucking directions.
Yeah. And I was kind of half pissed at him and half pissed at my cousin because my cousin gave shitty directions and my brother didn't bring anything. He took a photo.
You would think, though, was your brother the one talking to your cousin?
Yeah.
Trying to get, you would think, your brother would think, I don't know where that is.
Yeah. You think
so
he wouldn't
say. So can you tell
me
how to get to that?
Yeah. But he's like, okay, hang up. Oh, man. Like had it been me, I would have been like step by step. Here I am. Right or left, where am I going, and how far, you know.
That's what directions are.
Landmarks. Like, give me a landmark. What am I looking for?
You can't just say, like, my house is next to Arby's.
Yeah.
And then just expect me to, find it.
I have a long driveway. Look for the weird mailbox. Yeah.
Okay, but how do I get
to
your street?
How many miles down the road do I have to look for this mailbox? Yeah, but it's always fucking frustrating. He's getting pissed because he had to pay for his tux, and he didn't know he had to. Nobody told him. But from people, I'm not familiar with this kind of shit. I've been to weddings, but I've been in one wedding, and I didn't have to pay for my tux, so I wasn't sure. But nobody told him, and I didn't know. I don't know if you're supposed to, but he got in there, and they made him pretty much pay most of his paycheck for the week. And he brought all this money, you know, for gas, for tolls, all this shit. And it's like most of the money went for this tux. So he's pissed.
That is shitty. Like, you got to tell people this shit. Yeah. You can't just expect them to know.
It's, I guess, a tradition. I don't know. But what if he didn't, you know? Tell him, yeah, you're going to have to pay for the tux.
And
have
even
this ready.
Even if he knew he had to pay for it, they should have told him how much it was going to be.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Like, what if he showed up with not enough money? He knew he had to pay for it, but what if he just didn't have enough?
Yeah. And his big thing was like, my cousin knows he works this shit job, makes no money, and this tux is pretty much like a week's worth of pay. Why would you put that on him? He was an usher. Like, he has so many friends, my cousin. So many fucking friends. And he's like, asking my brother to be an usher and pay for a tux he really can't afford. So that was kind
of
douchey.
Well, if he had told him ahead of time that he needed to pay for it, it might not have been such a big deal.
Yeah. Then you could say, yeah, I'll be in the wedding, you know, whatever. So anyway, you know, we get there. We have to find this other friend, this friend of this girl that we're riding with who's from Chicago. She has a friend in Chicago. That's why she rode with us, so she could see her, you know, best friend ever. And we had no idea where she lives. So I'm like, you didn't look that up? Jesus. And
I just figured we'd find it.
She hasn't moved since. She still lives with her mom, this other friend that lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
And this girl is our only hope because she's from Chicago. And she has no idea. She has no idea where she is. She keeps saying, oh, this looks familiar. And we got that the whole trip, pretty
much.
This
looks familiar.
This looks familiar. Make a right.
Because you used to live here. It probably all looks familiar, stupid. Doesn't mean you were on the right track.
So we get so lost. It's like fucking, like 2 in the morning or something. No, it was, at this point, it was pretty late. It was like 9. And we show up. We find this chick's house. We pick her up. I meet her. She's a great girl, whatever. But then we end up going to this, we're going downtown Chicago, which was awesome. Because we're going to the bar, you know. But they don't know how to get there. And this keeps happening. And this is pissing me off because it's my biggest pet peeve.
And they keep making you drive.
Yeah, and she has the internet. Why didn't she print this shit out? And I'm just sitting there like biting my fucking lip. And
I know you told me that they had you be like, well, I think you volunteered. But anyway, they had you be like the designated driver.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And that was kind of a bitch because we were there 4 days and 3 or 4 days. And one of the days was the wedding. But the other days, before and after, we were going to go out, you know, downtown to the bars and hang out, see the scenery. But they kept drinking prior to when we had to, you know, head out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, we're pretty drunk. Can you drive?
Right.
And I only stayed sober because I noticed them drinking. And I'm like, I'm not going to ride in a car with people drinking and they have no fucking idea where they're going.
Right.
And so I'm like, I'll drive. But it was a douche move on their part. It pissed me off.
And they didn't tell you ahead of time or ask you ahead of time if you could do it. So if you hadn't, if you had assumed, which would have made sense to me, if you had assumed that you weren't going to have to drive because you didn't drive there,
yeah,
you don't have your car, you don't know where you're going, why would you be the driver? If you had assumed that you weren't going to be doing the driving and you had just been drinking with everybody else, they would have been fucked.
Yeah.
Because none of them were paying any attention to what anybody's doing.
Yep.
And they all would have been drunk, including you.
Yep.
Oops.
Exactly.
And none of us know where we're going.
Yeah. Just bullshit. So they're making me drive, which is fine. I can drive, whatever. We're driving downtown. No idea where we're going. We find the place. We find parking. We go to leave. We get lost again. And pretty much, you know, half the trip was getting lost. Anytime we got in the car, we got lost. And at some point, we ended up in like the ghetto. And I saw like a street that said Oakland. And then I saw Martin Luther King Boulevard, and I said, we need to get the fuck out of here. Turn around and get me the fuck out of here.
Malcolm X Avenue.
Yes. And like half the buildings were, you know, not renovated, and they had cages on them and shit. And
like bars in front of the windows?
Yeah. Or, okay. And just...
Or just cages. Black people in cages.
But people on the street, you know, you'd stop at a stoplight, and they're coming towards us. This happened once, but it scared the living fuck out of me.
Do they have a lot of one-way streets in Chicago? I can't remember.
No, thank God. We had to have covered a fuckload of Chicago because we were everywhere for hours and hours. Like, we'd end up leaving at 10 a.m. and get home at like 4 in the morning the next day because of getting lost. And all we wanted to do was go to like a bar, you know,
right?
Or go see some scenery. And we kept getting lost because of them. And I only stepped up once. They were making me drive and they were giving me directions, but they'd give me the first direction, make a left. So I made a left. Then they'd crank the radio and they're fucking dancing and singing, you know.
Right.
Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow. Whoa, I love this song. And I'm like, what's the next step, dipshit, you know? And I didn't say anything. I'm just like driving. Maybe I'm driving slow. Maybe they'll say it. And they're not. And all of a sudden, oh, man, you missed it. You missed the road. So I pulled over and I'm shaking. I'm pissed. And I don't get pissed. And my brother's like, you all right, dude? And I'm like, this is bullshit. I have no fucking clue where I'm at. We're almost out of gas. We've been driving for 8 fucking hours. I have no idea where I am. And you guys aren't fucking helping me. So my brother ends up driving and the two chicks they kind of agreed with me, but they're like, you don't have to be such an asshole about it.
Well, if they were paying any fucking attention or trying to help, you wouldn't have gotten pissed.
So inconsiderate. I mean, do I know where I'm going? No, I'm not from here. So, but yeah, that was the worst. The best parts were, you know, when we got out of the car and had a great time, basically. So,
right.
Like, the first bar we went to, it was kind of a bitch because I had to pay a cover charge with all the cash I had for tolls because they didn't tell me.
I hate that shit.
That
happened to me so many times.
Yeah.
People invite me out to bars or whatever and say, you know, oh, you should come out. You should come out. And I'll be like, okay. And I'll come out to the bar and then I'll get there and there's a cover charge.
Yeah. No forewarning. Yeah.
Nobody ever told me. So I don't have any cash on me because I just carry a credit card around most of the time. I don't have a lot of cash. I didn't have any cash, and now I have to be the asshole who has to ask somebody else to pay my cover fee.
Yeah.
Which isn't such a big deal, because then I can just say, like, oh, I'll buy you a drink or whatever, but I still feel douchey, and it's not my fault.
Yeah. It's bullshit. So we get to this bar, and I got to pay a cover charge, and I'm pissed, because to top the night off, we get lost.
And that was all your toll money.
Yeah. And there's
a lot of
everywhere,
toll roads,
man,
in Chicago.
And that's another thing. I don't mean to get off topic. The tolls, man. They don't have any fucking signs saying how much. And
right.
You get right up there and there's a sign and they're different at every toll. 30 cents, 80 cents, $1.30.
Isn't it usually based on how far you drove on the road?
Possibly. That would make sense, yeah. But I didn't know. And it kept growing the further you went, which made sense. You're paying more. You know, you first get on it and you pay like 30 cents. Then you're still on it, 50, and it keeps growing. But I didn't know until I got right up to the fucking guy and he's got his hand in my face and there's 80 people behind me. And I'm like, fuck, going through my change and shit.
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, trying to grab quarters and we finally get it. And then there's the one where there's no human. You just throw it and it's got to be change.
Yeah, yeah, you can't.
That pissed me off.
What if I didn't have the change? Yeah, exactly. What happens if you don't have it? Do you just stop?
Luckily, no one was behind me. I just sat there in disbelief and I'm like staring up, you know, into the sky like, are you fucking kidding me? What if I didn't have the change? Like, I'd be fucked. And luckily we had it. I threw it in. But if you end up not having it and driving through, there's a camera. I don't know what happens. I assume they take a picture of your license plate and fine you.
There's not like one of those arms that has to raise?
There's no arm on the one with the bucket.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, God, that pushed me out. But anyway, yeah, we got into this first bar. I paid a cover charge. I'm pissed because we knew the band, because one of the girls is friends with this band, the girl that's from Chicago. She's like, oh, we should go see my friend's band. and she didn't know where it was. Anyway, we get there, we get a free drink, awesome. And then the band comes out, and it's this fucking Def Jam poetry bullshit with an empty propane tank they're banging on. And I gotta tell you, I hate that poetry bullshit. I hate it.
And you actually like poetry.
And I like poetry. Yeah.
It's just this stuff.
But I hate this shit. Yeah, it's this one guy banging on like a different thing every song, which is cool. It's experimental. You know, it's whatever.
Right.
And the guitar player's got all these, you know, pedals with different effects. That's cool. Whatever. I didn't like it. It sounded like garbage. But then the black chick's doing her poetry and talking politics. And she keeps telling everybody to come closer and gather round because we're, you know, we're all one and all this shit.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at the bar like, and normally I'm respectful. When I'm in the presence of a band, I'll show respect, get up, you know, pay attention. I don't just sit at the bar like I'm ignoring it. But this was different. I hated it. I just sat at the bar and didn't give a fuck. So, you know, this one chick who's from Chicago, Chloe, she comes up. She's like, "Are you having a good time? I'm sorry." And I go, "No, it's fine. It just sucks balls. I'm sorry." It sucks big balls. So, yeah. And I was pissed. So we left that, went to another bar, saw another band, got to meet some great people, and overall just had a great time. Aside from getting lost and me.
So every time you were in the car, you were having the worst time of your life. And every time you were out of the car,
it was
a good time.
It was a damn good time, yeah. So it was a 50-50. And it really took a toll. I went through probably 8 packs of smokes. I had to, oh, that's another thing. I'll make this quick. But they would, when I was driving, because they were drinking, they'd say, "Oh, I'm really hungry. There's a Dunkin' Donuts up there. We should maybe stop up there." But then they wouldn't go further than that. So I'm like, "I guess we're not going." "We should." But they didn't say do it. So I pass it. And they're like, "Oh, Ryan, what the fuck? I said stop at the Dunkin' Donuts. I'm hungry."
No, you said we should maybe stop
and I brought
at the
that
Dunkin'
up.
Donuts.
And I sound like an asshole. You know, like, "No, you said we should. Damn it." But fuck you, you know. And it didn't help they were hungry every fucking 30 minutes. God, I could really go for a cheeseburger. So fucking hungry. We just ate. Pull over. Oh, turn around. I don't know where I am. Fuck you. You can hold it. Oh, I gotta pee. We were just at McDonald's and they had a bathroom.
That drives me crazy too, because everybody has to pee. Everybody
that
has
shit
to urinate.
Kept coming up.
But goddamn.
It was a living hell being in the vehicle with these people. I swear to God.
The worst is driving like on the highway or something.
Yeah.
And it depends on where you are, because some places have like a rest stop every, you know, couple of miles or whatever.
Yeah, which helps, yeah.
Man, driving anywhere for a really long distance with somebody on the highway and like every half an hour or an hour, yeah, they're like, "I have to pee."
Yep.
You haven't consumed anything since the last time.
Isn't that weird? It's mainly girls, man.
I
don't know what
it is.
Because, yeah, riding with two girls and they're just always hungry and they can't, like, just wait. They couldn't. They're getting pissy like it's a fucking drug.
"My blood sugar is low. I need to eat or I get angry."
God. But aside from being in the car and it being total fucking hell and driving me up a fucking wall, the two girls were very cool. I added them on Facebook. They're very cool. They suck when they're in a car and I'm driving. But other than that, they're very cool. And I hope they listen to the show.
So they can hear you talk about how annoying
they are. Oh, they know how pissed I was. They were there firsthand. So I have nothing to hide. So, but yeah, it was a good time. That was Chicago. And props to Kyle for doing the solo show. That had to be a big pain in the ass.
That was the most nervous I have ever been doing any of these episodes.
I bet, yeah.
Because there's nobody to talk to. I mean,
yeah,
it's like the whole time I'm just sitting there going, "This is horrible. This is horrible. Yeah. This is just awful. I can't believe it. Why am I even doing it? Just delete this. Yeah. Why am I doing this?"
You're putting something out, you know, which
is
great.
That was the point. Yeah, I didn't want
to
leave everybody hanging.
And props to all the people that commented and listened to the show.
Yeah, there wasn't any hate or anything in the comments. That was nice.
That's awesome. I listened to the show and I really liked it for what it was, just being Kyle. I thought it was hilarious.
You don't have to kiss my ass about it. How'd you feel about those Orion facts?
Embarrassed.
Because I let all your secrets out?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I understand. I didn't, you know, I was a little upset that you missed the show.
Yeah.
And so I was retaliating a little bit. I apologize.
Yeah, all that bullshit that happened. Yeah. But it's over and we're back in action.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So this weekend, I was at a party Friday night, and you were supposed to be there, you and Aldi, but you guys couldn't make it.
Yeah, couldn't make it out. Yep.
You were working that night and then working again the next day, and it's out really far away, and it would have been kind of a pain in the ass to either drive home the next morning in time to get to work or drive home that night after a night of drinking.
I felt bad. So. Yeah, it was a buddy of ours that's in the military, so he goes away for a long time. We met him once, but he's a great guy.
Yeah,
he went away forever.
It was like a coming home party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt bad for missing out, but Kyle went.
Yeah, so I went out to that, and it was a little awkward at first because I'm always a little awkward at first when I'm around a bunch of people I don't really know that well. And there were a bunch of people I didn't really know at this thing. So it took me a little while to start socializing because I was sober when I showed up.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that's the worst.
Once you got a few drinks in me, though, I was talking to everybody, nicknaming people.
Yeah.
There was one chick that I called Sparkles. There's one that I called Bag Lady because she showed up with a bag on her arm.
All right.
Bag Lady really isn't a very nice thing to call somebody because usually when you're talking about a bag lady, that's like a hobo, like a homeless woman who carries bags around. A bag lady isn't a good thing to call somebody, but I wasn't thinking that at the time. There's another girl that I called Vitamin Water because she showed up with a bottle of Vitamin Water because she wasn't drinking.
Oh, that's lame.
Well, she was a designated driver, and she explained to me that she had been out drinking the night before, so it was her turn to be DD.
Okay, so, fair enough.
Yeah.
Vitamin Water.
Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot of... I mean, I remember, but there wasn't a whole lot really to talk about. At one point, they were burning books.
Jesus.
Which was funny.
It National Socialist.
I know. It wasn't like a Nazi party or anything like that. They were just old junky books that nobody wanted, and we were all drunk, and they were building a fire, so they were throwing books on the fire.
You're fucking crazy, man.
They burned a hole in the deck. It's a big outdoor wooden deck, and that's where they had the fire in this old like metal... Like the bin part of a clothes dryer. That's what they were using to put the fire in, like to build the fire in.
Oh, fuck.
And they had it up on a few cinder blocks, and they were putting wood and books in there and lighting it on fire. And it was fine for most of the night, except that they forgot to put it out before we went to bed.
Oh, awesome.
And it burned a hole in the deck.
It's a good thing he lives out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I remember at one point I asked somebody to explain inflation to me. like when you're talking about money, inflation, because I don't get it. And I'm kind of getting away from the party now. But the thing is, I don't get inflation because I do get it when you're talking about like the U.S. used to be on the gold standard, which meant that all of our bills, all of our coins were backed up by gold.
Yeah.
Which so like you could pretty much literally say that this dollar bill is worth a certain portion of gold. Well, we're not on the gold standard anymore. So our money really kind of has no value as far as I understand it.
Yeah.
except what we just accept that it's worth. So when we were on the gold standard, if we printed more bills but didn't acquire more gold, then the value of each bill went down. That makes sense because each bill had to be worth, because you're dividing the gold up among more bills.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So each bill is now worth a smaller portion of gold, so it's worth less. Off the gold standard, if you print out more bills, I don't understand why they go down in value because they're really not worth anything anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. It's like magic. It's like we just all agree. It's like we're on the honor system.
It's magic money.
And that's what I don't understand. And I kept asking people, and I've asked people this before, and nobody can explain it in a way that makes sense to me. Like they would talk about all this crap about trading with other countries and stuff, and that's all well and good, but I still can't figure out where the value of our money actually comes from and why it changes when we have more of it. Like what if we just didn't tell anybody we made more money?
Yeah. It just comes out of thin air. Yeah. Like,
okay, now it's worth the same. What if we all knew there was more money, but we just all agreed not to change prices?
Yeah.
And I can't think of a reason why that would be bad for anybody. Because if you're upping the prices because of inflation, you're not actually making more money. You're trying to compensate so that you'll make the same amount of money. You know what I mean? So it's not like not raising the prices is actually going to hurt anybody if we all agree. If nobody raises their prices because of inflation, then inflation essentially didn't happen.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what I don't get.
That's silly, yeah.
Anyway, if somebody in the comments can explain that to me, that would be great.
That'd be awesome, yeah, because I don't get it either.
But that was also a really funny thing for a bunch of drunks to be talking about.
Yeah, I was like, about to say, how does that come up?
There were like four of us talking about it, and they were like, it was me and three other people, and they were all hitting me with different things, and none of it made sense to me. Not that like what they said didn't make sense, but it didn't really answer my question.
Didn't just, yeah.
And then later, I was hanging out with that vitamin water chick.
Yeah.
And some other people were playing Rock Band. They were just doing the singing, like they were doing karaoke battles.
Yeah.
And we were sitting on the couch talking to each other, and one of her friends, or two of her friends, were actually a little distance away, and they were talking about me like they thought I couldn't hear them. And they were saying that, first, they were just saying that I was macking on their friend.
Oh, Christ.
And so I turned to their friend and said, "They think I'm macking on you," which I was pretty drunk. Maybe I kind of was, but... Then one of the friends, who must have been more drunk than I was, accused me of being a pedophile because I didn't know how old this person I was talking to was. She's 18, I found out, but I didn't know at the time. So that doesn't make me a pedophile anyway. But so she accused me of being a pedophile, and I'm drunk, and I wasn't going to take that. Yeah. So I got up and I wandered over to where she was. She was with one of our friends in his bedroom, and I don't know what was going on there. But
what was about to happen?
And maybe they were about to do something. I don't know.
And in comes Kyle.
But I was drunk and didn't notice until I thought about it later anyway.
Hey, guys.
So I wander in there, and I said, like, "Did you just call me a pedophile?" And she's like, "Yeah, you are a pedophile." And I said, I don't remember why I knew this, but I knew she had a kid. And I said, "You have a kid and you're here." And I can see how she took that to mean, like, you're a bad mother because you are at this party getting wasted instead of hanging out with your kid.
Yeah.
That's not what I meant. What I meant was, you are an adult. You have a kid. This is your friend. I'm going to assume that your friend is also an adult. So that doesn't make me a pedophile. That was my whole point.
Okay.
But I can see how that didn't quite come across.
Especially being drunk, yeah.
And she got really, like, both pissed and sad.
Oh, man.
And then they were going to leave, and she still hadn't dropped it yet. And one of her friends told me that I should go apologize. And I was like, well, I don't know if it's going to help. And she's like, no, I really think it will. And so I went out, and I said, "I'm sorry about what I said earlier. You called me a pedophile." So I said, and she's like, "Oh, but you made me feel so bad," because she was wasted.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she ended up hugging me. Everything was good.
All right. That's the magic of alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like, it makes you forget, I guess. Like, you were so mad at me a minute ago, and now we're best buds.
Yeah. Once you touch and make physical contact, all is good.
I remember several times thinking about playing beer pong, but it never actually happened.
Were they playing beer pong?
No. We had cups and we had tables that we could have set it up at, and ping pong balls.
Well, shit, yeah.
And everybody kept saying we should play beer pong, and it never happened. Maybe somebody played and I didn't notice, but...
Well, that sucks. I'm
trying to think if anything else interesting happened. The next day, they were going tubing.
That's nuts. Yeah, this friend of ours, he's notorious for being this wild, crazy man. Like, he will have a night of the hardest drinking ever, and the next day he'll want to do, like, go out tubing and drink, like, yeah, the whole day, and laying in the sun
and just letting the sun sap all
so
of your energy out of you.
Super hardcore, just this crazy guy. It doesn't just occur to him that's just nuts. Why would you do that? It makes you feel like shit.
I'm not mad at anybody, but I don't understand. Every time I'm asked to go tubing,
yeah,
I say, I don't really enjoy it. I don't really like it. I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And somebody always tries to convince me to do it anyway.
Like, it's so strange.
What I don't, if I had said, like, if tubing was going to cost us money, like, if I needed to rent a tube or something,
yeah,
or if there was some kind of fee to get on the river, then if I had said, oh, I don't have the money, so I can't do it, and then you tried to convince me to do it anyway, and you're like, oh, I'll pay for you, or we'll all chip in and pay for you, that would make sense.
That's
to me.
Fine.
Because the reason, it wasn't that I didn't want to go, it was that I couldn't.
Yeah.
If there was some other reason, like, I couldn't go, but still wanted to, and you could figure a way around it, then I could understand still trying to convince me to do it. If my reasoning is, I don't enjoy this, why try to convince me to do it?
That's true, yeah.
Like, why try to convince me to have a bad time?
Yeah.
It happens every time, and it's the same people who know I don't like to do it.
Aldi's a big one, yeah. She loves tubing and just can't fathom the reason why anyone wouldn't like it.
And
so
I've
she's always on your ass.
My reasons.
Over and over. Yeah, it's hilarious. Come on, Kyle. You know you want to do it. I just told you I don't like doing it.
I'm pale. I always get sunburned afterwards. Usually when we do it at that other person's house, or when I get invited at the other person's house, it's when I'm hungover.
Yeah.
And laying out in the sun isn't going to make that any better.
Oh, God, no.
I'm not a huge fan of getting in the water and stuff anyway. I mean, I don't know. I just don't.
And that's fine. Yeah.
Dig it. Plus, it lasts a long fucking time.
Hours and hours.
It's hours. Yeah. And I just don't have that kind of attention span for sitting.
Yeah.
I have to be doing something.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. And everybody always tries to get me to do it anyway. And I don't get it. Aldi does the same thing with snowboarding.
Oh, yeah.
I went snowboarding once. Every time we've gone since then, I've gone skiing. But I went snowboarding once. Couldn't do it and hurt myself. Now, granted, if I wanted to be a snowboarder, I would have to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. Practice makes perfect. I'm sure everybody who gets on a snowboard for the first time falls over. But I didn't like it. She still tries to get me to go several times every winter.
Yeah.
And I will occasionally agree to go skiing instead. But I tell her I don't really want to. And she's like, oh, you're going to go.
Yeah. We have to go. How could you possibly not like this? That's so weird. Yeah.
I don't get it. I've probably done that to somebody, and I'm just not able to think of it right now, but I don't get it.
I can't imagine you doing that. But the party sounded cool.
It was fun.
Burning books and shit.
Wow. Yeah, it was fun.
I'm sorry I missed it, man.
Unfortunately, it was just a party, so nothing super exciting that I can think of happened.
Yeah, but. And you probably don't remember most of it, because it was a party. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, good times.
Oh, I forgot. There was a girl there that I'd never met before that said that she was going into the Navy and she was going to be a spy.
Yeah.
And
you told me about that.
The first thing I thought of and the first thing I said to her after she said that was, I don't know if they're going to make you a spy if you keep telling everybody about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's how that works.
That's a little fishy, yeah.
And she kept saying it throughout the night that she's going to be a spy. I'm like,
fucking drunk.
Stop telling everybody.
God.
You're the worst spy ever. They're going to kick you out of spy school on the first day.
Yeah.
That's
always weird with parties like that girl. But there's always like back to the inflation thing. Any party I've been to that's been a big party, you're wandering around, you know, and there's different people mingling. They all have different topics.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can judge like how drunk each group is by what they're talking about. Like you go to the one group and they're talking about movies. Okay, that's cool. You go to the next group, music. Next group, you know, talking about work. Then you go to the groups, they're talking about religion.
Big issues,
and they must be fucking wasted. And then you go to this one group, and I could picture myself walking up, and you're talking about inflation. I'd be like, oh, fuck this.
That was my fault, too. I brought that up.
I'm going elsewhere. All right, moving on. These guys are wasted.
That was after I was talking to the guy whose coming home party it was. He's in the military.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about how on the last, not the last episode of the podcast, not the one I did by myself, but the one before that, how I made the joke about how if somebody in the military comes home dead, they failed. Yeah. I was talking to him about that.
Oh, why would you say that?
Well, I was partially curious to see how he felt about it.
God.
And if I understood him correctly, basically what he said was that he didn't really care. Like, he wasn't really personally offended, but he did think it was an offensive thing to say.
Yeah, okay.
But,
fair enough.
That he understood how, like, you know, you're going to be more offended if you're close to the material, you know, if you're close to the subject matter. Like, if you are married to someone in the military, then you're going to be more offended by that joke than somebody who doesn't know anybody in the military.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense, yeah.
But I was curious to see how he felt about that. Because, like, I was wondering, like, am I going to get punched in the face?
I wouldn't fuck with any guy that's been in the military.
He's a really cool guy. Like,
yeah, he is.
The
yeah.
worst I could have imagined happening is that, like, he got mad and wouldn't talk to me for a little bit.
Yeah, he's not the guy to, like, punch you in the mouth. So, thank God.
No, absolutely not. You know, one thing I've always kind of wanted to do at a party where there's a bunch of people I don't know is I've said before how I'm fascinated by accents.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've always wanted to show up at a party and then start talking to people I don't know while faking some kind of accent other than my own and try to convince them that I'm from somewhere else.
Yeah.
like an Australian accent or whatever and try to convince them I'm from Australia.
Yeah.
Not that I can do any of those accents particularly well, but I bet to your average American, I could probably fool them into thinking I was Australian.
Especially, yeah, if they've been drinking.
Yeah, especially if they're drunk. I've always thought that would be a lot of fun,
yeah.
like at a bar or something, or at a party where I don't know anybody.
And chicks go for it, yeah.
I wonder if they would go for it, like if that would be like interesting or, you know, attractive to them, or if they would just be like, who's this fucking Australian guy? Why is he harassing me?
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos about different people doing, trying to do different kinds of accents and stuff, and most of them are kind of awful.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not American accents that they're trying to do. So if I can tell that they're awful as an American, then they're probably really awful. I think part of the problem, because I've also seen some videos, like I'm particularly interested in the Australian accent, and I've seen some videos where people from Australia are trying to explain how to do an Australian accent. And I think part of the problem is that when you say like Australian accent or British accent or American accent or Canadian accent, it still depends on where you're from within that place.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you'll get differing opinions from different people, and you'll still end up with a weird muddled accent that doesn't sound right. Like, I know a lot of the people talking about Australian accents that I saw were saying things like, we don't talk like Steve Irwin or Crocodile Dundee. Well, some of you must, because they are Australian.
Yeah.
So, you know, we didn't make that up.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I saw was people from Australia complaining that when Americans try to do an Australian accent, they will say things. Well, for one thing, their favorite phrase to say is, g'day, mate.
Yeah.
And not that Australians don't say that, but that they don't say it nearly as often as we apparently think they do. But on top of that, when we try to do it, apparently what we do is kind of say, like, good eye, mate. Like, instead of g'day, mate, it's good eye, mate.
Okay.
Which sounds ridiculous to them. The problem is, I think it's not that it's inaccurate. It's like, it's kind of at the opposite extreme. Like, it should be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard Australian people say that it's not like an I sound, but then they'll say it and it is actually sort of like an I sound. And I think they just don't realize it because it's not as strong as it is when other people try to do it. It's so confusing trying to talk about what you sound like as opposed to other people.
Absolutely. It's damn near impossible, I think.
I would love, though, to have somebody like an Australian try to teach me to speak like they do.
Yeah.
I think that would be fascinating. And a lot of fun, because they'd probably laugh at me like crazy. Probably laugh at me constantly.
Yeah.
Like, one thing that Australians say that I find interesting, it's one of the only things that Australians say that I think I understand, is not in terms of like the words they say, but how they pronounce them. Is when they say things like with an O sound, like if they said, I know.
Yeah.
It's like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, there's almost like an E in there or something. Like, I know.
Yeah, it's a crazy like wavelength, you know, distortion. No.
No. No. But I don't know. I'm getting kind of lost here. But while we're on the subject of voices.
Yeah.
We were watching a bunch of videos about voice actors.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Voice actors. Yes.
And voice acting is another thing that I find fascinating. I would love to have that job.
That is the greatest job ever. Think about it. Like, all you have to do is speak, and maybe, obviously, you got to tweak it a little bit, your own voice.
Right.
And some douchebag out there is like, this is awesome. Would you like to get paid to do this? And fuck, come into the office dressed in jeans?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you look like. That's one of the cool things about voice acting as opposed to regular acting. It doesn't really matter what you look like.
Yeah.
Because you can be anybody as long as you can do a voice that fits the character.
Yep. You just go in, read some lines, and get paid.
I mean, guys regularly do voice acting for female characters if it's supposed to be kind of a silly, brutish female.
The other way around. Like,
but you couldn't really, I mean, you could get away with that in an actual movie, but it would require a lot of makeup and like prosthetics and stuff.
Yeah.
We were watching videos about the guys that did the voices for the various Ninja Turtles characters in the old 80s cartoon.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this until just yesterday, and it makes sense to me now because I can hear it in my head. But we found out that the guy who did the voice of Shredder in the old cartoons was Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince
of Bel-Air.
His name's James Avery. But
just picture it. I know most people out there are like, oh, yeah. Like me.
I don't think I would have even guessed that it was a black guy, but I certainly wouldn't have guessed that it was Uncle Phil.
No way.
That's amazing to me.
That blew my mind. That was awesome. Yeah.
And looking at the resumes of some of these guys, like all the shit that they've done.
Holy
shit. They've been in so much shit. Like, and I notice sometimes, I think I have a better ear for that than most other people, and I don't mean that to brag. I just think I do. So, like, I will notice voice actors that I've heard other places, but some of these,
same here. Yeah.
It's the same person I didn't notice, and I'm Like, the guy who does the voice of Leonardo in the old Ninja Turtles cartoon also does the voice of Rocksteady, the rhinoceros dude.
Yeah.
Never would have guessed. I can hear it once I know, but never would have guessed it in a million years.
Same here. Especially as a kid.
And the guy who did the voice of Donatello is this fat Jewish guy.
Oh, man. Would have never connected the voice.
Big
never.
Beard and glasses.
Holy shit. Yeah. We were watching that. I'm thinking this guy's just talking about, you know, he's adding in his two cents about the voice actors and maybe he's related, but no, he was Donatello.
Yep.
And I just sat there like, no.
And the chick who did the voice of April O'Neil apparently hasn't done anything since, according to IMDb anyway. Like, she did some cartoons and stuff before that, but ever since then, she's just stopped. So I don't know if she got a different career or... I know she's still alive because she was in one of those videos.
Yeah, maybe nobody's hired her. Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt she got, like, blacklisted or anything. I assume she just took a different course.
Yeah, they all have different needs for voices. So it's a gamble.
It's weird, though, once you see him for the first time. Like, you've heard this voice all your life.
Always,
yes. And you attached it to these characters, and all of a sudden you see him for real, and sometimes it's not as big a shock, but sometimes it's a huge fucking shock.
Like, and it's like Donatello, yeah.
Yeah. And holy really? Shit. Wow. And yeah, it made us wonder, like, was it weird to see our pictures the first time you saw them? Like, is it weird to attach those faces to our voices? Like, I have the same thing with radio personalities.
I think we all do.
The first time I see them, because you normally don't. First time I see them, I'm like, really? That's what that guy looks like? I mean, but I had this picture in my head.
Yeah, we all put that picture in our head because we don't know. And then when it's not what's in our head, you know, it's either very shocking, like, oh my God. Or it's
I can't think of a single time where I've been like, yeah, that makes sense.
Same here. Like, the Ninja Turtle guys, some of them, you know, whatever, it made sense after they were speaking. But sometimes I see voice actors and the voice doesn't fit the face. But with the Ninja Turtles, like Leonardo, the guy that played Raphael, it just worked with their face. So it wasn't that shocking. It was kind of cool, obviously, you know, seeing that.
Yeah.
But it didn't blow me away. Like, the voice of Homer Simpson, I forget his name.
Dan Castellaneta or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. When I saw him, it was completely not what I had in mind at all, and it just kind of fucked with me.
And he's actually, if I'm thinking of the right guy, he's actually an actor I've seen as an actor.
Really? Yeah.
And so I was kind of surprised to see, oh, that's the guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who Hank Azaria is?
I don't.
He does a lot of voices on The Simpsons. He does a lot of voice work, but he's also he's another guy that's been in movies as a real actor.
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
He does physical actor.
A fuckload of voices on The Simpsons, yeah.
The only thing I know I've seen him in plenty of stuff, but the only thing I can think of that he's been in as like a physical actor off the top of my head is the 2000 Godzilla movie or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, it was earlier than that. Or I don't remember what year it came out, but the American Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
He was in that.
Yeah. Look him up. I'm sure everybody knows who he is.
You know, I had an idea the other day for a new business. Everybody pretty much enjoys books, right? You know, like at least once in a while. Maybe you're not a big reader, but...
A good part of the majority, yeah.
Yeah. But I was trying to think of how to make books better. And my first idea was just to take the pages out, you know, like taking the cord away from the cordless phone. Like, how do you make a pageless book?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I can't really make a pageless book. And I was like, well, the annoying thing about books to me is like, I can never get comfortable when I'm reading a book.
Yeah.
Like I'll try laying down on my back and holding the book above my head and then my arms get tired after a while. Or I'll lay on my side and then I don't know what to do with one of my arms and it's kind of difficult to hold the book open with just one hand. Or like my one arm goes to sleep because I'm laying on it.
And it's distracting, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you can sit up and read the book, but if it's a long book, like you'll get uncomfortable doing that after a while. And then I was like, well, there's audiobooks, but the problem,
I was about to say.
The problem with audiobooks, though, is if you want to take them with you, you got to have headphones in. And then so like if anybody needs to talk to you, you got to take the headphones out. You got to hit pause and everything. So here's my idea.
All right.
You'd start a website. You'd call it booktards.com. Like books and retards.
Yeah.
You know what an autistic savant is, right?
No.
It's like it's a person with autism who has basically like a superpower. Like they're like the X-Men of retards.
Okay.
Only their superpowers are more realistic. Like Rain Man.
Rain Man, okay.
You know, you drop a box full of toothpicks on the floor and he can count them all just by looking at them.
Yeah.
You know, like normal people, if you have a lot of something, you have to actually count it. You can't just look at it and go, oh, that's how many. Yeah. Well, that's his superpower. Well, there are other autistic savants who are like retards. They can't talk to people or whatever, but they're really great at playing the piano.
Yep.
Like, just for no apparent reason. They're just really great at it, or they're really great at math or whatever. What you do is you find one of those retards, or a bunch of them actually, who have the ability to just memorize shit. Like, there was a kid we went to school with that I told him my birthday one year, and then like 3 years later I asked him if he knew what my birthday was, and he did.
Wow.
And I didn't really even know the kid. Somebody like that who just remembers shit.
Yeah.
And you, what you do is, like, you order a day or two in advance, so it gives them time to read the book, and then they ship them to your doorstep, and they'll just follow you around all day reciting the book.
Okay.
So then, like, you don't have to be wearing headphones, so you can hear everything else, and if, you know, somebody comes up to try to talk to you, then they just shut up for a minute. Booktards.com. What do you think?
I like it. I just hope they don't sound retarded. You know, like, they're not the type that.
Well, there will be a screening process when you're hiring.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You could, like, eat, you know, cheeseburgers, and they're telling you the story at McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
They'll just follow you around all day, and when you're done with them, you put them back in the crate and ship them back to the company.
Yeah.
It'll have holes in it, I mean, you know, so they can breathe.
There will be no uproar against that.
Right. Autistic, well, the only problem I can see is that autistic people sometimes freak out over stuff. Like some of them don't like fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
You know, so if you take them to the wrong place, they might, like, grab their head and start rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
And then you got to, like, escort them out. Some of them don't like to be touched. So, you know, you try to get them out of the place because they're rocking back and forth. And then they freak out even more. I'll have to work the kinks out of that. But, yeah, again, that could be part of the screening
process.
That's
what I was about to say. No rockers, yeah.
No rockers, yeah. That'd be right on the front page of the website. No rockers guaranteed. Or your money back.
Yeah.
I had another idea for an invention.
What's up?
Well, this, my idea kind of would require to be, I would have to submit it to an existing company. Well, I wouldn't have to, but the way I named it, I would. My idea is Coca-Cola ham.
Oh. Ooh.
Now, it's not a ham-flavored Coca-Cola. What it is it's kind of like a... It's kind of like Spam, only in like a puree, and it comes in what looks like a Coke can, and it says Coca-Cola ham on it, and and it's carbonated, so it's like a carbonated ham slurry. And so you open the can, and it goes just like, you know, a soda.
Yeah.
And then you can pour it out and use it for different things. Like, there would be recipes on the can for making like ham cakes, which are like ham pancakes. You just pour a bunch of it out like pancake batter into a skillet and fry it up.
There's no relation to the flavor, like Coke and ham?
Just the fact that it's carbonated and comes in a Coke can.
Okay. So it's like Coke issues this new thing.
I think because it's coming from Coca-Cola, it would get all kinds of, you know, all this promotion behind it. And I think that would really help it sell.
That makes sense.
There could be different flavors of it, though. Like, you know, you could have like a honey-baked ham flavor, like a smoked ham.
Maple ham, my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And there could be like diet ham, but it would actually be turkey.
Diet ham, yeah.
Maybe one could be like a bacon.
Oh, yeah, bacon.
I don't know.
Can't go wrong.
What do you think?
I like it, yes.
Which do you like better, booktards.com or Coca-Cola ham?
Coca-Cola ham. I like that.
Really? Well, I can't eat a retard.
Yeah.
Not legally, anyway.
And I'm thinking more humane practices, yes. So Coca-Cola ham.
What's inhumane about booktards.com?
The crates, man. You can't ship them in crates.
These people would have a hard time getting a regular job. We're just putting them to work. We're offering them opportunity.
Yeah.
And the crates, I mean, there'd be padding inside. And like I said, there'd be holes so they could breathe.
And I don't like reading because I just get too distracted. I don't know. The whole book thing, even though if it was improved and someone was telling me a story, eventually I'd get annoyed or bored. But with, you know, Coca-Cola ham, endless.
So you just hate stories.
No.
And knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah.
I don't like fiction or nonfiction books because I hate stories and knowledge.
Yeah.
Fine.
I just might get bored easily. I don't know.
Well, then don't sign up for booktards.com.
All right.
I'll take all the money for myself. I need, though, to partner up with somebody who knows a lot of retards.
Yeah. Well, carbonated ham. I mean, ham is so good by itself.
Everything's better carbonated.
Okay.
I don't... Like, okay.
Why don't I understand?
Would you rather drink a carbonated soda or a flat one?
Carbonated.
Well, there you go. Would you rather eat a carbonated ham or a flat ham?
Carbonated ham. Yeah.
All right, then. Problem solved.
All right. Ooh, pate ham carbonated. Yummy.
Well, speaking of yummy, it's time for one of our favorite segments, Austin's Voicemail Corner.
Yeah, Austin. Over the whole fucking week, we only got one voicemail from Austin. So
this is actually from like the last week. Like
the last week. 2 weeks!
I just didn't play it.
Holy shit! Yeah, you didn't play it in the solo episode.
Right.
Which is fair. I mean, because then where would I be? I mean,
right.
That's not fair. So, but yeah. Austin is truly our hero.
Austin's Voicemail Corner, yeah!
Hey, guys. I saw a trailer for something called, I think it was just called Beater Raider. It's a PSP game, but it's just a beats-making game that's helped by, what's his name? Timberland. And, you know, the video shows, you know, look how you can make music together and cut it all up and all that fun stuff. But I was just wondering, have you guys ever used video games to make music? There have been a few games that have been, you know, cut together beats and whatever. This one looks to be the most in-depth because, you know, they put like 4 years into it or whatever. But I don't know. I tried MTV games, and since you guys make music and my sure as hell don't, I made a simple beat and got bored with it and quit. So just wondering if you guys like that kind of shit. Later.
Have you really played with many music-making video games, Orion?
I haven't, and I can't see myself being interested, simply because, like, if I made a song, like, one time I was on, like, a Flash game website, and they had this Flash game. It wasn't really a game, but you could assemble, you know, sounds together and make a song. I couldn't do anything with it. Like, so I just stay clear. I just keep to the computer where I make something, I can save it, I can share it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, back in the day, I used to really love Mario Paint for the Super Nintendo, and Mario Paint had a music maker.
Yeah.
I used to play with that a lot. I remember there was I think it was an issue of Nintendo Power, but it might have been a different magazine. But there was some magazine that had, again, I also don't remember if they did this more than once or if it was just once, but they had a song shown as like a picture, and then it was a contest where you would plug that in, like you would recreate the picture in Mario Paint, like in the song editor.
Okay, yeah.
And then you had to guess what that song was and write into them. And I think it was Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
Wow.
It was the, like, the intro part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to play with that a lot. I remember some of those like MTV games and stuff, but I never had any of them.
I didn't either, yeah.
There is a song maker in Guitar Hero 4 that I played with a little bit, but I didn't really like the way it was set up.
Yeah, they're fun to play with. It's just, yeah.
And I sort of made music with Little Big Planet.
Oh, God.
By like putting a bunch of buttons connected to little speaker objects that would play different tones when you hit the button. So I set up a bunch of buttons with a bunch of speakers attached to each button. So like each button played a different sound. Like I made a keyboard kind of where you would have your little guy jump on different buttons to play the different notes.
That's cool.
I've seen other people do that too, like make entire songs where you get in like a little car and it drives over the buttons or whatever, or drives past certain points and it makes it play a sound.
Yeah.
So they'll make like songs that way.
That's cool. Yeah.
But I haven't really played with music making video games a whole lot. I know there was one for the Super Nintendo that never came out that was called Sound Fantasy, I think. And
never
I think
heard,
it was, I think it was supposed to come in like the big box, like Mario Paint did, and it was going to come with the mouse. And it was basically like Mario Paint, but it was all sound-oriented.
Okay.
I don't know much about it specifically. I don't really know if you could make music with it or not, but that just a little kernel of stupid trivia for you.
Yeah.
Sound Fantasy. It was a game that never came out.
Thank you, Kyle. Yeah.
You can find box art for it on the internet,
yeah.
But I don't think there's any videos of it or screenshots or anything like that.
Yeah, all that stuff, it's all interesting. And as a kid, you know, playing around with that shit, that's cool. But because I know it's not really going to ultimately do anything other than just exist on, like, the console, you know, I'd get bored so easy and just give up.
Well, so. Mario Paint, actually, there's a standalone application for the PC that somebody made that basically recreates the song editor from Mario Paint and actually adds a little bit of extra functionality to it. Like,
yeah.
In Mario Paint, you were limited, like, for one beat, there could only be, I think, three different notes. Like, okay. You know, if you wanted to play chords, yeah. You could only play a chord with three different notes.
Okay.
And if you wanted a drum track in there, that took up a note, too. So, like, you could only have two different notes and a drum hit.
Yeah.
But I think the standalone application gets rid of that limit, so you can do whatever you want.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah.
And then you can output it as like waves or MP3s or something like that. I haven't
messed
with it
cool.
much.
Yeah.
And then another thing is that's kind of related to Mario Paint. I believe I read somewhere that 50 Cent, when he first started rapping,
yeah,
would make beats in Mario Paint.
No shit.
And rap over them.
Wow.
Which I don't know. I doubt like recordings of that exist anywhere. But if they do, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, me too. That's interesting.
Austin also left a comment about how he's afraid of dying he's afraid of not existing, and it terrifies him. And I don't know. How do you feel about that? Are you afraid of being dead? Because I'm not.
I don't want to not exist. I want to have fun and live.
Right. But, I'm not afraid of it.
I recall, like, before that, he brought up something. He was afraid of dying, like the process.
Yeah, that I understand.
Because there would be blackness, and you wouldn't see that, and we talked about that. But the whole being afraid of not existing, I can relate to that. I don't know in what way I'd be afraid. I'm more afraid because that's probably the ultimate bad thing I'd want to happen, is for me to not exist.
Right.
So I'd be afraid of it just because, of all things to happen to me, not existing is the one thing I do not want to happen to me. So
I agree, but, and I think we have talked about this before, so I don't want to like really.
But being get afraid. Too
far into it. I'm not afraid. The only thing I'm afraid of in regards to dying is dying in like a violent or scary way. I'm not actually afraid of being dead. It's like being afraid of not being born. It makes no difference.
Yeah, it's a weird thought.
Because by the time I'm in that position, I won't exist anymore to care.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, if I didn't think I knew, like if I thought that anything could happen once I died, then I'd be scared because I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be like in eternal blackness forever, like
yeah.
cold and alone, or if I'm going to go to hell or, yeah. you know, preferably heaven. But, you know, yeah. I don't know.
You don't know.
That would scare me. But I'm pretty sure what's going to happen is essentially nothing from my perspective, because I won't have a perspective anymore to even give a shit.
Yeah. But as far as being afraid of not existing, the fear I think would conjure up basically because of I don't want to leave anybody alone that I love. You know, they might, I don't know what they're going to go through. I don't want to put them through that.
I don't either, but I'm not afraid of it.
So I just like, if someone had a gun to my head and I knew I wouldn't feel it, I'd be afraid of not existing more than feeling the bullet possibly, or maybe thinking of, you know, who I'd leave behind.
I don't know. I'm not afraid of it. Like, I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid of it.
But I guess in that sense, I'm more afraid of who I'd leave behind than not existing. So
I'm not afraid of that either, because I mean, yeah, it would suck if I died and people were sad, or if I left them with some kind of financial burden, or, you know, if, I don't know, whatever. I guess those are the two big things. Like, if I died and they were sad, or if I died and it burdened them somehow. Yeah. But, you know, I don't want that to happen, but I'm not afraid of it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen someday anyway.
We're all going to die, yeah.
And I won't be around to care afterwards. So, like, I don't care about my legacy, you know. I don't care about what I leave behind, really. Except that, you know, I don't want to be a dick and, like, blow up the earth because I'm leaving, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to wreak havoc because I'm not going to be around to care. Yeah. But I don't care. I'm not afraid of it. I don't know. That's basically it.
That's about it, yeah. Like I was saying, like, as far as family goes, they'd probably feel pretty shitty. They'd miss me. But when you have, like, someone you really care about, like Aldie, I wouldn't want to leave her alone. So I think the fear, I guess I can relate a little more. Though the more I think about it, I don't know why I'd be afraid. I just wouldn't want it to happen. So where's that gray area end, you know, between, well, I just don't want it to happen, and being afraid of it? I don't know.
I definitely don't lose sleep over the idea of not.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, it's inevitable. We're all going to die, and there's nothing we can do, obviously. Have you ever had dreams about dying? Like,
I'm pretty sure I have, but I can't think of any examples. I mostly had dreams about other people dying.
I had this one where I was on a subway. I might have talked about this, but I was on a subway, and it crashed, and I flew forward, and just, I was gone. I didn't, you know, feel anything. It was just pop off, you know, and then I woke up, and it scared me because, I guess, the dream itself scared me because I didn't feel anything, and that was weird, and that it was just off, and that was weird because, you know, nobody knows. You turn off, that's probable.
Right.
Is there anything else? Like a realm we can't even possibly understand? But yeah, it was scary because it was so, it wasn't normal. And yeah. But.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever had a dream about dying. I think the closest I've ever had to a dream about dying is I've had dreams about falling, which presumably if the dream played itself out, I guess I would be falling to my death.
Yeah, that's horrible.
But I don't think I've ever actually died in a dream. If I have, I don't remember it.
I've also had dreams kind of like the subway one where I'm in a car and a car is coming at me and then boom, and again, off. And no pain, no feeling, just black, and then I wake up. And it's just weird. Like, that was it? No big deal.
My dreams are usually weirder than that. Like, I remember as a kid, I had a dream where I turned into a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
And I could feel the whole thing. It was kind of cool.
Like, mutation.
Have three fingers, you know, two fingers and a thumb. So, like, my fingers kind of went into, like, the live long and prosper sign from Star Trek and, like, fused together. And I could feel it.
That
was kind of cool. They're all weird. Like, I've had sex dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, I'm looking at the chick's vagina.
Yeah.
And in my dream, it made sense. It all was perfectly normal. But when I woke up, and I know what a vagina looks like. I did at the time, too.
Was it not normal?
No. Like, it was, it had, like, I can't really remember that well now, but it looked more like a flower. Like, it had, like, these little, like, antenna-type things.
Oh, and God.
It wasn't really gross, just not right.
It just wasn't right, but it made sense in the dream.
And it made sense in the dream.
Wow.
Weird.
That is weird. Yeah. I've had dreams, like, your fingers fusing together. That is intriguing. Like, you can feel that. I've had dreams where I've been on a rope, you know, and I'm about to swing into, you know, the river.
Mm-hmm.
But I can adjust myself, and there's, like, physics, active physics in my dream. And I can, you know, adjust my body in a certain way and swing a certain way to manipulate realistically the way I'd be swinging in reality. And I woke up from that, and I thought that was incredible. Like, this is a dream. It should be more weird, not so attached to, because I don't think about that, but it's involved.
I've had dreams where I don't think I've ever had a flying dream, which is supposedly like a dream that everybody
has.
That's
like the most common dream, yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a flying dream, but I have had dreams where I could levitate, which I suppose could mean that I could fly. I just didn't use it that way.
Yeah.
But I remember in the dream, like, feeling how to activate it, you know, like I could feel what I was doing when I was about to levitate, when
That's
I was
cool.
like making myself, like I could feel it. So the next day when I woke up, like I was like, I knew I couldn't levitate, but it was like, could I feel that? Like,
could you
I
feel
mean, I know what it
way?
Feels like to do it.
Yeah.
So. I've also had dreams where I can move things with my mind. And I can feel that too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I'm just looking at something and thinking about it moving. Like, I can feel what I'm doing.
You can feel inside you, this thing.
It's weird that you can, like, feel things that you shouldn't even know what it would feel like anyway.
That is weird. Yeah, I've never had that. That's beyond my stuff, man. That's cool. Very interesting.
Well, speaking of dreams, I think I need to go to bed.
It is getting late. Yeah.
So I think we need to wrap this
Where
up.
Where are we at? Hour and 10?
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, I don't even know. 2 hours? Yeah. Lots
Seven
of editing.
Hours. 7 hours.
7 hours plus lots of editing.
Yeah. All right. So you can email me at kyle@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
And or orion@ijusthadaterriblethought.com.
You can send us a voicemail at 616-328-5581.
That's 616-328-5581.
Become a fan on the Facebook. Suggest us to your friends. Order stickers.
Twitter. Fuck Twitter. Sorry. Become a fan on Twitter.
I don't know.
If you're an asshole.
So, yeah. Thanks for listening.
We will check in.
I just had a terrible thought.
Yes, episode 30. Thanks for listening, guys. We will check in next week.
Bye.